Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you guys. Again today, there's always, I found this to be true, every time that we have times of martial training, and certainly we've had that this week, that there's an anointing of the Spirit of God that follows the Sunday after our training. And it's here today. Some of you, if you can sense it, you can see it. And you know that God is here, and so I appreciate the mercy and grace of God to be with us and to show that forth by His presence with us, and testimony to what we are doing. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject, overcoming the spirit of fear. Overcoming the spirit of fear. If you have your Bibles, would you open them then to Numbers chapter 13. Very practical message this morning. Numbers chapter 13, on overcoming the spirit of fear. You want to turn to it if you don't have a Bible with you? Pick out a pew Bible there. We're going to read a large portion of Scripture here. So you'll probably want to have a pew Bible, and you can look it up in the front of your Bible under Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and it'll give you a page number there. And you can follow along if you would so desire. This is where the children of Israel are commanded to spy out the land. So some of you already know this passage. We're going to be looking at a lot of other passages, but certainly this will be a springboard text for us. God says, I've given you the land of Canaan, but you just can't go take it willy-nilly. So they do some reconnoitering. They send out some reconnaissance. There's 12 spies to check it out, see what it's all about, check some weaknesses, check their strengths, and then make a plan accordingly as to how they're going to take captive this land for the glory of God. So in verse 17 of Numbers 13, it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain. So right away we see here that reconnoitering, getting good intel. This is hard for us to believe, but we've been talking about being Cor and Dale before the face of God. But gathering intel or intelligence is a scriptural thing to do. It's all right. I mean, Sun Tzu says, if without good intelligence, you're finished. You've got to have good intelligence. And so, of course, the Scripture predates Sun Tzu, this Old Testament passage here. But he understood that. So Moses is spying out the land. Let's get some good intelligence on the situation. And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. That's a wise thing to do, so we can plot our plan accordingly. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. A walled city is going to take a different battle plan than a Bedouins living in tents. Two different battle plans are going to happen. All right, verse 20, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean. You know, I don't want to spend all my efforts, getting the Mojave Desert, right? You might spend some effort gathering, getting the Mojave Desert, but all right, you get the point. Whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. Yeah, I didn't realize it, but the Mojave Desert doesn't have as much wood as I'd like. I like places where there's lots of trees. They have a lot of advantages for building and for heat and all that good stuff. Fruit, food, all that. And be you of good courage. Don't forget that now. We're going to pass over this right now, this time, but we'll hit this another time. Be of good courage. You might want to underline that, just that little part. That's very important. Be of good courage. We just sang, we're marching on with hearts courageous after the Lord. And bring of the fruit of the land. Now bring us a little bit of a sample of what the food's like there. And it was the time of the first ripe grapes. The first crop of grapes is coming in. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Aman and Sheshai and Talmai and the children of Anak were. Now the children of Anak, we've got to pause here for just a second. These are the giants. These are men that are 8 to 10 foot tall and a lot taller, about 3 feet taller than the Israelites at this point. And so there would be a formidable enemy. That's why the Bible says the children of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. It doesn't mean so much to us in the day of modern artillery and a modern armament. But in the day of swords and spears, that would be Goliath his head was about the height of this beam, give or take a few inches. Goliath actually stood. So here I am with my sword, And there's Goliath, and his head, I can't even reach his head with my short sword. It's tough. Yeah, not even a long sword, hardly. Tough. So you can understand in the natural, they've got some formidable enemies. And don't we have some formidable enemies in the natural? Yes, we do. I do not underestimate our enemies in the natural. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. The Hebrew there, one grape. Composite unity. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and the figs. These grapes were so big that one cluster of grapes had to be carried with two men in the center on a stick, on a staff. Huge grapes. This land is truly a land blessed and flowing with milk and honey. Verse 24. The place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching out the land. 40 days they were gone, these spies, checking it all out, getting intel on the whole situation. And they went and came into Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Just like God said. He said, God, I'm going to take you and lead you into a land of milk and honey. God had prophesied it. Here it's coming to pass, if only the people will believe. Nevertheless, the people that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, good defenses, good fortresses, and very great, not just, so-so walls. They've done a good job of fortifying themselves. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. There it is again. Those giants are there, and they're tough people. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So you can see this. And there's all these people there. And Caleb, he steals the people before Moses. He sees that the report is already starting to go in a negative fashion. Just a little bit. He just senses. Caleb, he's sensing a spirit of fear there just beginning to creep in on these spies as they're reporting it. So he kind of says, all right, you guys take it easy for a minute. Look, verse 30. Caleb steals the people before Moses and said, Let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Sometimes the time to strike is now before the fear sets in. Caleb said, if they listen to Caleb, if they listen to the voice of God, let's do it. Now is the time. Not a time for hesitation. That's why Reverend John Witherspoon, at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, they were getting ready to sign. They were wondering whether they should or not, because to sign the Declaration means put my head on the chopping block. And he said, there is a tide in the affairs of men. We perceive it now before us. Somebody else can help me quote it. To hesitate is to consent to our own slavery. John Witherspoon said, now is the time to sign this document. If we hesitate, if we wait longer, it's to consent to our own slavery. So they went and they signed the document. And of course, we have partaken of the fruits of that document by the grace of God for a couple hundred years. All right. So verse 30, Caleb steals the people. He says, now's the time to possess. We can overcome it. Doesn't make a difference if there's a whole bunch of giants there. Doesn't make a difference if they got strong walled cities. God said, we can have the land. Let's possess it. He's not speaking in presumption here, because God had said, I'm giving you the land of Canaan. Amen? This is not presumptuous. All right? It's not foolhardy. But the men that dwell up, the men that went up with him, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought up an evil report of the land. A fearful report, a report that said, we're not going up, they're too big, they're too strong, we don't have it in us, we can't do it. Which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. We don't have a chance against these guys. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were come, the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You've got to get that picture. I won't belabor the point. But it's not a big deal, a real big deal, if you've got the weapon of today and you see a 10-foot man coming at you. He's not going to withstand a 223 round or 308 or 30-06 round very easily. But if you've got a sword and you've got a spear and his spear is three times longer than your spear, you've got a problem on your hands in the natural. You do have a problem. It's going to be a difficult battle. But God said, we can do this. And so Caleb and Joshua now, there's two spies that are of faith and 10 spies that lack faith in this endeavor. Verse 14. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Oh no! Woe is me, such misery! And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, see, look what a spirit of fear, the spirit of fear that's resigning on 10 men. Look what it's doing to a whole congregation. Two men have faith, 10 men have fear, but that 10 with the spirit of fear, it's like wildfire. We may have lost a couple of people these last couple of weeks to church. I don't like to lose people. We're a small congregation. But I'd rather have people of faith here than people of fear. Because that fear will catch on you, and I don't want it in our congregation. I don't want it. It's just what happened here. 10 people have a spirit of fear. That fear jumps. I'm speaking honestly. I'm speaking the word of God to you. I don't want anybody to leave. I didn't kick anybody out. But fearful people don't last here too long. That's just the long and short of it. Didn't ask anybody to leave. But fearful people just don't last here too long. People are scared about their job. They're scared about this. They're scared about that. What if? We'll talk about it. We're talking about overcoming the spirit of fear here in a minute. Lick the hands and feeds them, and may their chain set lightly upon them, and may our countrymen... I won't quote the rest of you. That's too heavy for tonight. All right. And the people wept that night, and the children of Israel, they complained to Moses, would to God, verse 2, that we had died in the land of Egypt. What are we doing out here to be slaughtered by all these great giants and all this formidable enemy? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And it's slavery. They actually want slavery. And Fred knows there's a lot of people in America, they really want slavery. They prefer slavery. There's some people, when they get out of prison, they want to go back. They want three hots and a cot. Amen. Right? Yeah, three hots and a cot. They want that. It's just more comfortable to live as a slave. They don't have to make decisions. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Moses, you're not it anymore. Let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly, saying, of the congregation of the children of Israel, look, you guys don't know what you're doing. You're playing with fire here. You want to make another captain? God's not, you know, God's watching the scene, and Moses and Aaron are aware of that, that God is looking down. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, they rent their clothes. So you got Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes, saying, don't do this, people, don't do this. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. God's given us a great land here in America too. A lot of parallels in this passage. We have an exceeding good land that the Lord has given us. If the Lord delight in us, if we're Coram Deo, if we're before His face constantly, if we're seeking Him, and He delights in us, He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. And here it is, neither fear. Circle that word, underline those two words. Neither fear. Have faith. Don't be afraid. Neither fear ye the people of the land. Don't fear the New World Order. Yes, we know it's there, but don't fear it. For they are our bread for us. Oh, wow. What a spirit of faith versus a spirit of fear. No matter how big those giants are, they're bread for us, Joshua and Caleb said. Their defense is departed from them. They don't have the Spirit of God. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I didn't get that fear underlined in my Bible. I'm going to do it right now. I didn't get that second fear, and I want to know that is there. Fear them not. I want to know that in that passage. I'll need it someday. You'll need it someday. I'm up here, you know, there's no guns pointed at me right now, so I look like I'm pretty confident. Something could change somewhere down the line, and I might get a little spirit of fear on me, and I need to come back to this verse. Fear them not. Warren Mark, Don't fear them. You're trembling a little bit. You've got off the path just a skosh, but come back. Come back on the straight and narrow, and don't fear them.
Amen.
We're going to talk more about that. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Kill these men of faith. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And God says, I've had it with these guys. I've had it with their lack of faith. I'm just going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Moses intercedes and says, God, don't do it. Don't do it because there's a great testimony of your power to lead your people out of the land of Egypt. Spare them, Lord. I know they're messed up, but spare them. God says, all right, I'll spare them. Now we pick up in, if you would, let's pick up in verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. All right, I'm not going to wipe them off the face of the map. I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I don't like all this fearfulness going on. I want the people to be worshiping me and trusting in me. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles... Uh-oh. Ray, you and I are in a tough spot. We know the miracles of God. We studied the history. Fred, we're in a tough spot. We know God is a miracle-working God. To turn our back on Him now, ooh, woe is me, woe is you. You've heard it, you've seen it, you've seen the hand of God. The miracle hand of God took you out of a life of sin, delivered you, set you on the right course, path of righteousness. You've been taught here Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know He's a miracle-working God. To turn your back on Him now and not have faith, ooh, it's scary, scary position to be in. Scary position to be in. But as truly as I live, verse 21, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. God says, all right, I'm not going to kill them, but this is what's going to happen. They are not going to go into the land of milk and honey. They're not going to go into the promised land. I've been promising them it for all this time, but they failed and they're part of the covenant. But there's two guys that we are going to go in and see that land. You know who they are, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. So actually both Joshua and Caleb, speaking through the mouth here of Joshua, they're both going to see it because they have faith. But notice what he says here, verse 24. I want you to see this. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit. Having another spirit. If you have another spirit, it's not going to make you popular in the pool room. If you have another spirit, it's not going to make you popular in the local bar downtown. If you have another spirit, it's not going to make you popular at the five and dime. It's not going to make you popular, unfortunately, even in most churches today. If you have another spirit, you're going to be on the outcast. You're not going to be popular. You're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. But I want that other spirit. But I tell you what, I don't only want that other spirit. I want a double portion of another spirit in my life. A double portion of another spirit. I don't care if it doesn't make me popular. I want another spirit in my life operating. Forget those 10 spies. I want the spirit of Caleb and Joshua on me and on this congregation. I want a double portion of that spirit.
Amen.
It won't make us popular in America. But it will make us popular with God. God will know us. And He'll be pleased with us if we have another spirit operating in our lives. And those that are fearful. But what did it say about heaven? The Bible says of heaven, the fearful and the unbelieving will not be in heaven. Says in the book of Revelation. They won't be there. I want to have another spirit.
They won't be accepted at the city council.
God in the Bible is constantly saying to His people, look this up in Strong's. It's fun to look up in Strong's. Look under the word fear. Huge section. The word fear and fearful is used repeatedly in the Bible. The Bible is saying, fear not. Fear thou not. Fear him not. Fear not nor be afraid. I mean, the Bible is just full of the teaching of people, don't be afraid, don't be fearful, don't have fear. It's a major theme that's being dealt with. Don't be afraid. Don't have fear. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would, please. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20 and verse 8. You say, we're small here, Warren. That's right. Joshua and Caleb were outnumbered, what, 10 against 2. That's just the way it's going to be. But the two had the mind of God. The two had the faith of God. So it should not trouble us, it should not throw us if we don't have a lot of numbers, because that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I'd like to have a lot more numbers. You better believe it. But it speaks that Jesus himself said, straight is the gate that leads to heaven, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Few there be that go into the straight gate, in the straight and narrow way. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8. This is when the children of Israel are preparing for war at this particular place. And he says, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house. And here's the principle, you guys know it. Lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. That's the spirit of fear that catches on. Now, I'm going to teach us how to combat that spirit in just a minute. All right? But he said, look at this one place. They're going to battle. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest to battle, not if, but when. It's just a question of when thou goest to battle and see thine enemies and horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid. There it is again. Don't be afraid when you're outnumbered. For the Lord thy God is with thee, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he says, look, all right, we got people that are fearful. If you're fearful, go back. I don't want you to cause your brother's heart to faint in the day of battle. And that's exactly what will happen. So he says, the fearful people, another place, under Caleb, when he was getting his army in, everybody that's afraid, go home, and like 25,000 went home. God says, I don't want that spirit catching on the people. And I don't want that spirit catching on myself or you folks as well. Go with me to Psalm 53, if you would. Now, I'm not talking about a momentary, any of us can be afraid. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I mean, I can, like I said earlier, I can catch a little bit of fear on me for a time, but I can get shaken out of it. You say, Warren, just quote me a scripture. Give me some history or something. All of a sudden, I can respond. I can jump back. Oh, yeah, you're right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for exhorting me. I mean, all of us are capable of slipping at some point. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person's life who is just afraid. I'm not talking about a 10-minute or a one-day slip or something like that, or 2 days where you had a little bit of fear and you got a little depressed or something. That happens to all of us. And then we have to come out of it and we go on for the Lord. Psalm 53 and verse 5. Look at what much of this fear, look at this here. Psalm 53 and verse 5. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. They didn't even know it. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. So I gave the illustration a couple of weeks ago when Dad was unregistering the church, getting out from under the 501c3. All kinds of fear were gripping people. All kinds of fear. What is this? The IRS is going to come and shut the church down. This is going to happen to the church. That was in 1991. This is 2010. All that fear. There were they. Two-thirds of the people quit the congregation. A third of you will remember. There's about a dozen people here that were there. You saw the big money leave the church. You saw all kinds of things. Great fear. What's going to happen? When we were having meetings here, the common law movement was breaking forth, and of course, nothing happened. The common law movement was breaking here. We were at the center of it back in 95, 96 in there. People were coming in, and they heard, somebody's out there taking license plate numbers. I remember a man in the community. He had a special forces background from Vietnam. He was a minister. He said, I'm afraid to come over to your church to attend a meeting because they might take my license plate down. So what if they take your license plate down? There was he in great fear where no fear was. There were they in great fear where no fear was. Let's do one more verse, and then and this is the most important, 2 Timothy 1:7. Many of you can already quote it, but you need to have it. You've got to have this verse, especially in the days in which are to come upon us, very shortly perhaps. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Everybody, you need to have this underlined. You need to encourage a brother. You need to encourage a sister. I'm talking about a brother or sister who has that momentary fear, sees their heart. Some people, you give them that scripture and it goes water off a duck's back, goes right over their head, still going to remain in fear. I'm talking about any of us, anyone, and this preacher included, who can get seized for a moment, for the spirit of fear, for a brief time or whatever, and then you bring me back to reality, come back to the Word of God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But notice that it's a spirit of fear that he's talking about. Caleb had another spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit upon him. Here's a spirit of fear. Fear is actually a demonic operation working in the life of an individual. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places of the earth. And they're influencing. It was demonic influences that came upon those 10 spies to influence them so the children of Israel wouldn't take the land right then and go in and possess it. So it's a spiritual battle. But we can defeat the spirit of fear. And I want to give you some practical things here as to how we overcome that spirit of fear. Because God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. I've given you one of power, authority, love, sound mind. Make good decisions, not out of panic. Sun Tzu wrote, one strategy of war is to put your soldiers in a battle. And this is overcoming fear now. One strategy of war is to put your soldiers in a battle with their backs up against the wall. That is that there's no way of retreat. This is a tactic. Now, it's not to be used 100 times or 9 out of 10 times. Just like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, praise as a tactic of war, or 5 or 6 weeks ago. God used praise. They didn't even have to fight. Praise was enough to destroy the enemy. And that is a tactic, not every tactic, but a tactic. Here's another tactic. And Sun Tzu says, if you need to in certain battles and you need to get your men to fight like there's no tomorrow, to quit themselves like men, you put them in a position where they are attacked and their backs are against the wall, maybe in a one-way canyon. There's one way in and one way out. And the only way out is to go through the enemy, and you will get them to fight like they've never fought before. And so he says, this is a way of overcoming fear. Their backs against the wall, and they say, look, we don't have any other choice. Either be slaughtered right here or get through these guys. And so they work themselves through. Now, that's not the fear that I'm overcoming that I'm talking about. There's a fear there. We're going to be slaughtered here. We're in a slaughter point. Let's get out of here. That's not the fear that I'm talking about overcoming. That's fine when that happens, and it's a place in war, but that's not what I'm talking about. There is an overcoming fear that takes place in those circumstances. But the biggest fear that we face right now is, and have, and God's people have always faced, is the what if fear. What if this? What if that? What if the other thing? That's the fear that God's people have always faced. Now, how do we remedy this? Some simple things here. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. The first way to remedy it, the first most important way, is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Luke 12, 4 and 5. And I say unto you, my friends, Jesus says, my friends, don't be afraid of them that can kill the body. Yeah. Hey, they tortured one of the Hutari men, right? They burned him with a torch. Men are incarcerated in jail right now, good men. Families, wives waiting for him to come home. He says, don't fear those that can kill the body, and after that, they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In the parallel passage there in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus says, don't fear those that can destroy the body, and that's all after that, that's all they can do. But he says, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. I tell you, fear him. If we have a proper and a healthy fear of God in our lives, the other fears fall by the wayside. Because there's one healthy fear, and that is the fear of Almighty God. And the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when we have a right understanding that we are dealing with the Master of the universe, and we have that fear, that proper fear of him, we fear not what man can do to us. Because the fear that we have is, God, am I pleasing you right now or am I not? If I'm pleasing God, everything's all right. If I'm not pleasing Him, I have a fear. God, I'm displeasing you. But if I know that I'm pleasing God, the other things can fall by the wayside. When you have a healthy fear of God, the lesser fears, they fall by the way. Because you've placed your confidence in Almighty God. You've placed your trust in Him. You know that He loves you. You know that He died for you on Calvary's cross. You know that you've been saved, you've been redeemed, you've been born again by His precious blood. And so now the relationship changes from one of a God of judgment to a God who says, you are my son. I welcome you into my household. Based upon a new birth experience, it changes. Three more very practical steps. How to overcome the spirit of fear. Number one, saturate yourself in the Word of God. Stories like Daniel in the lion's den, Paul before Herod, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, Jesus before Pilate, Paul and Silas in jail. You know, I think too many Christians fear jail more than they fear God. I mean, that's what it is. That's what we've heard here through the years. They're going to throw you in jail. I don't want to go to jail. So they abandon the work of God because they're more afraid of God than they are. They're more afraid of jail than they are of God. Unfortunate, but you can see it on them. They just want to hide back in the shadows. Us four, no more mentality. Don't worry. Let the world go to hell in a handbasket. As long as I've got my little mountain retreat with my family, that's it. Don't care about changing things in America. Don't care about bringing in righteousness, righteous government, nothing like that, because it might cost them something. And they literally fear jail more than they fear God. Read about the three Hebrew children, Gideon or whatever. I don't know how you can be a fearful person if you're saturated in the Word of God. I gave, 10 illustrations? I could ask you guys for more illustrations about people who, in the Word of God, who didn't have fear and trusted God. Over and over and over again. And then there are other illustrations of people who did fear God. And the consequences. And the people, who didn't fear God but feared man. And then you see the consequences of those who feared man and didn't fear God, and it would cause us to fear God that much more and put our trust and hope in Him. So if we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, we're not going to have a spirit of fear operating on us very long. It'll purge it. Yes, it might operate through us for a day or something like that, but it'll be purged. It will not be our life's manner. Saturate yourself in the history of this country from its inception, not just 1775, but you've got to go to 1610, you've got to go to 1620, and you study the history of this country. Study the life of the Scottish Covenanters, and you will not have a spirit of fear operating in your life, but you'll have a spirit of hope and of faith and of courage. I brought with me just a handful of books here. If you read the Fox's book of Christian Martyrs of the World, people who stood, people saw terrible things happen to themselves. I'm not saying if we trust God, bad thing, we may not die. I'm not promising you anything like you'll never die in the natural. You'll never die spiritually if you trust God. We don't know. Fox's book of Christian Martyrs. These are people that were killed for the cause of Jesus Christ and liberty. Here's a book, Fair Sunshine, Character Studies of the Scottish Covenanters. Terrible atrocities happened to these people who stood in the gap for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're reading the lives of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, if you've ever read this book, if you've ever studied their lives, you can't operate in a spirit of fear because these men didn't operate in a spirit of fear. And they will encourage you and they will strengthen you. Lives of the signers. What happened to them? Some did all right. A lot of them suffered greatly in this earth. And what does the Bible say? Some are willing to suffer in this present time so that they'll receive a greater eternal reward. Remember, we're all excited about what's going on right now and taking this country back for God. But we're only pilgrims and strangers in this country. We seek an eternal city. We follow an eternal God. And our destination, our eternal destination, is in heaven. But we're not using it as a cop-out. We're not going to use it as a cop-out. Covenanters of the Merse. There's all kinds of books. Here's the book we start in May 1st, America's Providential History, on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday in May. This will build you up in the most holy faith. You'll be built up as we study this, of what God did through the lives of people. Here's one for the ladies. Ladies of the Covenant, what the ladies have taken a stand. It's in Fox's Book of Martyrs as well. Many Christian ladies, oh, I tell you what they have done and what they had to do. Thinking about the people, oh, I'm afraid of what's going on at the Church of Korea. They're liable to do something to me. That's why I said last week, I wanted to vomit when one man said something to me, oh, this church doesn't talk enough afterwards about what Jesus is doing in their lives. That's what I want. Here's women who knew if they took this preacher in their home, they'd get thrown in jail. Because you took a preacher in the home and you gave him something to eat. Scottish in Scotland in the 1700s. Women taking preachers into their home, giving them a place to stay, because they were unlicensed preachers. And if you preached out in the fields, the conventicle preaching, off with your head. So I tell you what, women have made great stands. They've had great courage. Great women of faith, historically. And I think about, I think of Rahab. And you think about people, oh, we're a little bit afraid that maybe the slight chance, there's a chance we might get thrown in the Crossbar Hotel. There is a chance. But most of it's great fear where there's no fear to be had. It's not because of presumption or brazenness that we do what we do here at the Church of Kauai. I want to emphasize that. It's not because of presumption or brazenness or because we've been smoking something that's worked us up into a frenzy, or we're in some tent chanting something and got ourselves all worked up into a frenzy. It's because our consciences are held captive to the Word of God. I'm going to read that again. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this point. It's not because of presumption or brazenness or just going off half-cocked that we do what we do here at the Church at Kauai and other churches. It's because our very conscience, our consciences are held captive to the Word of God. Why did these ladies and the ladies of the covenant, why did they go through all that they went through? Because their consciences were held captive to God's Word about what they were doing, about the rightness of the cause. They had no other alternative. Martin Luther, when facing possible death and the destruction of all his writings, hey, good to see you, Mike. You came in, brother. Good to have you with us. I didn't know when you got in. Okay. I don't know if you overslept. We all had a big couple of days here, but it's good to see Mike with us. Martin Luther, when facing death and the destruction of all his writings, he said, listen to this, my conscience is held captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God, help me. That's exactly where you've got to come. That's exactly where you've got to be with the Lord. That where the decisions that you're doing, the things that you're doing, is because your conscience is held captive to the Word of God. You can't do any other. You don't have any choice in the matter. Otherwise, you are going to be the spirit of fear it is, and that is, the fear of Almighty God and the wrath of Almighty God is abiding on you if you don't do this and so, such and so. But when you step out and you do it for the Lord, He gives the peace that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and that guards your mind. When your conscience is held captive to the world. See, they don't understand us. The world does not understand. Much of the Christian world, that does not understand people's hearts and minds that are held captive to the Word of God. So, I encourage you to study about these men and women. What happened to all the great men and women of faith you read about when you saturate yourself in the Bible and in history? What happened to them? What was that key thing about them? Their consciences would not allow them to yield one more iota of authority to Caesar because it would yield up what is God's. Remember when they tried to trick Jesus in the Gospels? And they said, should we render unto Caesar? Right? What was the question?
Is it lawful to pay taxes?
Thanks. Is it lawful to pay taxes, to pay tribute? Is it lawful to pay taxes or tribute to Caesar? And they thought they had him, the million-dollar question. And he turned it around on them. And he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. You think you owe this tax? Pay it. If you don't owe it, don't pay it. They didn't expect him to answer that way. They feared if he said, pay it, they've got him now. Because the Jews didn't, they were being oppressed by Rome. They didn't want to pay the tax. The Jews would be mad at Jesus. If he said, don't pay it, Then the Romans would be mad at him because he's teaching his people not to pay the tax. But he said, wait a minute. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. And how this has played out historically in the lives of all the men and women that were just, we can't even talk about them here because time would fail us. Hebrews chapter 11, the great men and women of faith in the Bible, their consciences would not allow them to yield one more iota of authority to Caesar because it would yield up what is God's. Yes, render to Caesar what's Caesar's. But don't forget about rendering to God what is God's. In closing, I want to give you one more practical step as we pray to close. All right, what are the practical steps to overcoming the spirit of fear that could hit attack any of us at any time, this preacher included? Number one, fear God. Fear God. Number two, and then so if the spirit of fear comes on someone, wait a minute. Hey, this is for eternity. We're doing this thing for eternity. Not just the life which now is, but the life which is to come. And we need to get reminded that, hey, we're pilgrims and sojourners on this land. Even if we are kings and priests, we're still pilgrims and sojourners as well. We've got an eternal destination. So we remind ourselves of that. Number two, we saturate ourselves in the Bible. And if you're reading the Bible, I don't know how people can read the Bible and come to any different conclusion. I just don't know. Number three, I'll tell you one of the things that they aren't doing too is they're certainly not studying Christian history. They're not studying the history of this country, not studying the history of Scotland and so many other countries that God has used. All right? Then fourthly, so you got it. When you want to fear God, read the Bible. Read about Christian history. Fourth practical thing is to overcome the spirit of fear. Speak often one to another. Oh, here's a great verse. Go to Malachi. This is my last verse. We're ready to close. Getting ready to close. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, if you've never seen this, I've given it to you before, but maybe there's somebody new here who's never seen this. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. If you watch Little House on the Prairie, you'll know this. We're going to be talking about the Book of Remembrance. And Laura Ingalls Wilder said, if I had a Book of Remembrance, I'd mark down in my Book of Remembrance that this was a very happy day for me. All right, first Malachi 3:16, just before Matthew. Then they that feared the Lord, not feared the giants, not feared the Anakims, not feared the IRS. Oh, they didn't have the IRS back then. They that feared the Lord spake often, fourth practical thing, spake often one to another, and the Lord heard them, he hearkened, and a book of remembrance, that's that term, a book of remembrance, Laurie Ingalls Wilder liked to use, a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I talked to you about, I got a little excited, I said, I want that spirit, another spirit on me, double portion of that another spirit, and if it doesn't make me popular, but I'd also like to be in this book right here. And I know you would too, of those that fear the Lord and thought upon His name and how His name is being taken in vain in this country. Oh my. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to the Lord, one to another, and the Lord heard it in a book of remembrance. Hallelujah. I believe some of you are in that book of remembrance. I want to be in that book of remembrance. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. End of time, and I will spare them. I'll take pity on them as a man spares or takes pity on his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. That is, your thinking will come back to total trust in God and reliance upon divine providence between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So you want that underlined. Those that fear the Lord. If you fear God here, today, you need to speak with one another, encourage one another, fear the Lord, trust the Lord, seek Christ, believe in Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Encourage one another. The Bible says in Psalms that the evil, what do the evil do? They encourage one another in an evil matter. They encourage one another in an evil matter. When I went to high school, all the time was, let's go out and get drunk. They wanted to go out and somebody's got the beer and let's go up on the mountain. That's Three Rivers people are known for. Unfortunately, the high school kids are very... I didn't partake of it by God's grace, but that was encouraging. It was all about encouraging one another in an evil matter. It's no fun to just, you know, do a brew on your own when you're in high school. You've got to encourage your friends so that you're big and tough, and or if it's smoking a cigarette, you know, it's no fun to smoke it by yourself. You got to make sure you got three or four peers, you know, around you so you can really look tough or look adult, right? You guys have all seen it. The Bible says they encourage one another in evil matter. We encourage one another. The Bible says exhort one another to love and good works. We're to exhort one another to love and to good works. We're to exhort one another to faith, to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. I was talking to Frank a number of weeks ago, and we were just having a discussion. All of a sudden, he talked about the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence and what they suffered and what they went through and how we could be here. And I wasn't having a spirit of fear on me. We were just having some general conversation, having a good time. But it bolstered me. It strengthened me. And I thought, yeah, you're right. What, you know, come back to history, Warren Mark. And yeah, God did this and He did that. And all these men that went on before us, how can we desert them at this hour? Who, it says, America the Beautiful, who more than selves their country loved and mercy more than life. We love to sing that song, America the Beautiful, because it talks about, you know, the heroes proved in liberating strife who more than selves their country loved. Not as, I got me and my family here and I've got my weapon, I'm going to guard me and my family. No, no. What about those who love their country too and are willing to try and do something about bringing their country into righteousness and getting God's favor upon their country? So it was just like all of a sudden, yeah, Frank's right. Boy, I started getting excited. All I had to do was mention the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Because I've read it. I know, oh yeah, I know what they went through. I know where they were. I know who. All of a sudden. So these are practical things. We need to speak to one another. Though you that fear the Lord, speak one to another. And that want to honor, see the name of God honored in this land. And God will write your name in a book of remembrance, the Word of God tells us. And the Word of God tells us, the Lord is not a man that He should lie. If He says there's a book of remembrance and He'll put your name in it, He'll put your name in that book of remembrance because you fear the Lord and speak often one to another. One of our hymns of the faith is Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still in Spite of Dungeon, Fire, and Sword. We are not to fear Him who can destroy the body, and that's all they can do. We're to fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's how you overcome the spirit of fear. Father, we thank You for this people, Lord, today that have heard the message. Lord, I did my best to encourage them in the most holy faith. And Lord, we recognize that any of us are capable of a spirit of fear latching on to us for a particular moment or a particular time in our lives. And Lord, we're not talking about that. But I'm praying that our brothers and sisters would be there to encourage us and to strengthen us, that we would stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand some more. Father, help us as we march with hearts courageous after You today. Because indeed, we're a needy people, but we're thankful that Your hand is not too short, it can't reach down and save us, nor is Your ear deaf that it cannot hear our cries. And Father, we come boldly to Your throne of grace because we're Your children. But I pray, Lord, as I have spoken this morning, preached Your word, if anybody under the sound of my voice does not know You as Lord and Savior, does not know You as the loving, merciful God that You are, that they would cast all their care upon You, that they would simply say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and receive of Your love and forgiveness, Jesus. Bless us, Your people. Strengthen us, Lord. I pray for those that perhaps they've left that a spirit of fear has completely overcome their lives. Father, I pray that You would break the bounds and the chains of slavery that have got them bound. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.